This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, so good evening. So the halacha tonight, we will focus on the halachas of Erev Rosh Hashanah. And this will be a very, I think, good preparation for Rosh Hashanah itself. And in fact, the halachas and the minhagim of Erev Rosh Hashanah help us focus about how to get into the spirit of the day. So it's now, tonight is Wednesday, and Mr. Shem, we're talking about next Sunday. So Erev Rosh Hashanah. So as a sort of an introduction, I came across a very interesting idea. I haven't put it on the sheet, but on the updated sheet it's there. From Reb Chaim Dov Keller, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Tel, who passed away a couple of years ago. And he said a very interesting observation on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, a well-known Gemara. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, paragraph 1, the first box, this is Rosh Hashanah Yud Ches Amad Aleph, but Rosh Hashanah, Kol Boi Ha'olam Ovrin Lefonov K'bnei Morim. On Rosh Hashanah, all of mankind pass in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu K'bnei Morim. What does that mean? So says the Gemara, my Kibnei Morin. What does it mean? They pass in front of Hashem, Kibnei Morin. So the Gemara gives three interpretations. We're familiar with the first one, I think. Hocha Targimu Kibnei Amarna, which means we pass like sheep in front of a shepherd, like the shepherd who sort of counts all his sheep to make sure they're all there. We pass in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Rosh Hashanah like sheep. The next explanation is, Rish Lakish Amar, Kamalos Beis Morin, which means they're sort of on a narrow passageway, a precipice, a steep incline on either side, and therefore it's a narrow passageway to walk. So everyone is passing through in single file. That's the second explanation. The third explanation is Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel Kachayola Shel Beis David, like the soldiers of Beis David in the army of David HaMelech. You know, just like the sergeant, the officer, accounts for each member, each soldier. So each one passes through. That's the end of the Gemara, Kibnei Morin. It says Reb Chaim Dov Keller that each one represents a different sort of approach of people as they come towards Rosh Hashanah. The first one is like sheep, not a very flattering analogy. And that is just like sheep, you know, like you follow people like sheep. You follow each sheep follows the person in front of it, the sheep in front of it. So sort of clueless, blindlessly just carrying on without too much attention. That's the first one, which is obviously a very negative connotation. The next type of approach is also not that commendable, and that is anxiety. People approach, sadly, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, full of anxiety, trepidation. Of course, there should be the Emas Hadin, there should be a fear of what's in store, but sometimes the anxiety spills over and it's counterproductive, it's actually not that positive. The third one, the analogy of soldiers, is more productive. And the analogy is that just like soldiers who believe in a cause, and the cause, of course, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah is being Marbe Kvod Shamayim, well, so too, just like the David HaMelech soldiers are sort of approaching battle with a cause to be victorious, to be successful in battle, well, so too, we believe in the cause of being Marbe Kvod Shamayim. That's really what Rosh Hashanah is all about, being Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So those are the three approaches to Rosh Hashanah. Now, interestingly, the third approach, which is a certain confidence in battle, a certain approaching, believing in a cause, a certain positivity, interestingly, this one feeds in to the first halacha of Erev Rosh Hashanah. The focus tonight, sure.
The first explanation, looking at it from Hashem's point of view, is like a shepherd who counts all sheep to make sure he doesn't lose any.
Yes. Which is positive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's.
What does that mean? He doesn't lose any. What's
no, what, in this, what it's saying is like a shepherd, where it goes past one by one, and the focus is on the attention on the individual. And just like a shepherd, he wants to know how many have I got in my flock, he'll pass them through a pen in a way that he counts one by one, so each one gets individual attention. So the analogy is, of course, on Rosh Hashanah, we're going to get individual attention. But why compare us to sheep? Why not to donkeys, camels, soldiers, a thousand things? The analogy is that there's a sort of a derogatory criticism of the sheep, that they're just clueless, they're just blindly following. So from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, he focuses on each individual, there is a din for each individual, what's in store for that person for the coming year. But from the individual's perspective, we're compared to sheep, that category is somewhat negative because they're just cluelessly following the person in front.
Lose it if the idea was that.
Point taken. No, the point is individual attention. Okay, now, There are six things that the halacha records that we need to do on Erev Rosh Hashanah. And the first one is very interesting. The first one, the Shulchan Aruch says in Tov Kuf Pei Aleph Sif Dalet, Mechapsin Umestaprin Be'erev Rosh Hashanah. So it's paragraph 2, I list the first item, 2.1. Mechapsin Umestaprin Be'erev Rosh Hashanah, which means we bathe, we take a shower, we get ready, Mestaprin, and we take a haircut, we shave for an Erev Rosh Hashanah. Now that is a sign of a certain confidence in the din. The Torah says that we do that in honor of the din. We have a confidence that there's a certain positivity. That's really the third category. The soldier who goes into battle with a positive attitude, believing in the cause, that is represented by Mechapsin Mestaprin Be'er Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah Berurah says, interestingly, Laharos, to show, She'anu Betuchin Bechasto Yisparach, that we have confidence in the chesed of Hashem, sheyotzi letzedek mishpatenu, that he will vindicate the judgment that we have. On Mikol Makom, however, although it's important to dress smart on Yontov, lo yilbash b'Rosh Hashanah bigdei rikma o meshi, you shouldn't wear too, you know, fancy clothes, silk begodim, whatever the fancy is of the day. Dihei meiris hadin, we should have a fear of judgment. There should be a certain seriousness about the day, but we should dress smart, but not like a regular Yontov, where we dress even more nicely than a regular Shabbos. And Yilbash Begodim Levonim Noim, we should wear nice white clothes. For I'm Magen Avram, to Mokam Shein Noagim Yilbash Levonim, Akoponim Yilbash Chashuvim. So nowadays, whatever that is, we don't wear white nowadays, but Dvarim Chashuvim, something which is respectful and dignified. So that is the first thing that we do on Erev Rosh Hashanah. We bathe, we take haircuts, we prepare, and that represents the confidence we have, hopefully, in the din. Now, the next thing that is brought down in halacha that we have to do on Erev Rosh Hashanah is actually fasting. Now, again, it's not so well known, and we can understand why it's not that popular. But the Shulchan Aruch brings it. The Shulchan Aruch says, "Na'agin lis'anus Erev Rosh Hashanah." The minhag is to fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah. And the Ramah adds, this is sort of takes it to the next level. V'hamedaktikim, those who are very particular, nagu shekol echod misana asor yomim, they fast for 10 days. V'chein nochen lasoi. The 10 days means aser esmei tshuva. We spoke about this last week. That's one of the reasons the Mishnah Berurah brings as to why you do slichas a minimum of 4 days, because you've got the 10 days of aser esmei tshuva, and 4 of those days you cannot fast. Right? You've got 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, you've got Shabbos Shuvah, and you've got Erev Yom Kippur, where you've got to eat. So because you can't fast on those 4 days, you therefore bring it forward a minimum of 4 days beforehand. Now, I don't know anyone who fasts, of course, it's just the daytime during the Aseret Shuvah, but fasting on Erev Rosh Hashanah, that is much more common. Did you have a question?
Yeah. So should we fast on Erev?
Oh, so we'll see. Take a look. Now, what is the background? We'll see. It says the Medrash. The Medrash gives a very interesting moshel. Moshel l'medina, a moshel of a certain country, shechayeves liyafes l'melech. They've got to pay the king some sort of huge tax. And the king goes out to collect the tax, and he's within 10 kilometers of that city. The leaders of that country go out to praise the king, to try and appease him, to try and reduce the tax. And it worked. Because hit Elohim shlish mid the musa shelohem, and he reduces it by a third. But toicha misha milin, then when he comes closer to the town and he's 5 kilometers out of the town, yotzu beni hamadina v'kosu, the average people go out and they praise him. Hit Elohim oich shlish, and he relieves them of another third. Kiven shenichnas l'medina, when he actually approaches the city itself, yotzu kol bnei hamadina anoshim anoshim v'taf, everyone comes out the kolsuhu v'hit elohem emas, and he removes the last third and he takes away the total tax burden. What has passed is past, now let's start a new cheshbon. Kach, says the Medrash, kach be'erev Rosh Hashanah. What's the analogy? So to an Erev Rosh Hashanah. G'doyle hadar mis'anin, the leaders of the generation fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzil lohem shlish me'avonoseihem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu relieves one third of their sins. U'mei Rosh Hashanah ad Yom HaKippurim ha'yechidim mis'anim, more individuals fast. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzil lohem shlish me'avonoseihem, another third of the averas are wiped clean. U'mei Yom HaKippurim kulam mis'anim, when it comes to Yom Kippur, everyone fasts. Anoshim anoshim v'taf, men, women, and children. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu emelohem l'Yisrael, ma'da ozel ozim in hocha lahalon nochel chushbana. What has been, and now let's start a new cheshbon. So you see the analogy is there, but that's really what it's about. That already from Erev Rosh Hashanah, we feel the Emas Adin ultimately of Yom Kippur, and therefore this is sort of be Mephias to take the day seriously, to be Mephias as it were, to appease HaKadosh Baruch Hu and help us introspect that we can do tshuva, that we can have a slate which is wiped clean. Now, the question is, should we fast? So, before we come to the Halicha Shlema, take a look at the top of the next page. For those listening online, please email me, j.golka@gmail.com, I'll send you the handout. The top of the next page, you've got the Mate Ephraim. The Mate Ephraim, I remember Rabbi Roberts always used to say, when it comes to Hilchas Yom Neroim, he has the last word. The Mate Ephraim is sort of the final word in Halacha, really, on Yom Neroim. Says the Mate Ephraim, of a Malkum Sheish Ktas Choli. If a person is not feeling well, Ein Tzorech L'Samas. So that's number one. So anyone who's not feeling well, it's not one of the six fast days, it's not Tisha B'Av, it's not Shavuos HaTamuz, it's not Shavuot Tevis. There's a minhag to fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah. If you're not feeling well, for sure not. Af Shekvais on Erev Rosh Hashanah come upon him. And even if a person has fasted for many years on Erev Rosh Hashanah, Ein Tzorech HaTorah. You don't actually need to do HaTorah Sedarim. Why? She'ein Zeh Doim El Neder. It's not like a Neder that you've undertaken to fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Kim Shele Hisni Rak Mitzad Minhag HaTzibur. You're only doing it because it's a communal minhag to do it. So it's, if you're not feeling well, definitely you don't have to fast. Now, the Halichas Shlema, which is Rosh Shlema Zalman Orbach, interesting comments on this. Take a look at the bottom box of the first page. Rabbeinu hoye mezareis lekayim haminhag haniska b'shulchan aruch. He would encourage people to keep this minhag, to fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah, v'lis'anos ad chatzos hayom, only until midday. So basically you're skipping breakfast. Midday is not 12 noon, but is halachic midday, which is probably about 1 o'clock. And therefore, that's a good practice to do. Rav Shlomo Zalman would encourage certainly boys in his yeshiva and others to do that. Or at least until, or even further, up to Mincha Gedolah, which is a little bit later. For Yatom al-Ile, and he would be perplexed about those, Shebil Baltem Lis'anos, that they would sort of abandon and not bother fasting. It's brought in Shulchan Aruch. It's not just like a nice idea that someone once said to Karim Behu, but it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. He brings the Yavitz, who says already from midday you can already eat. Okay, the Yosei Shavoda says a bit later, but certainly the practice would be until Chatzos. That is the common minhag. Now, what would Rav Shlomo Zalman do on Erev Rosh Hashanah? So again, in the footnote there in Halicha Shlema, he says the following. Next paragraph. He would be very busy on this day, on Erev Rosh Hashanah, even though Rosh Shlomo Zalman was one of the great Rosh Hashivas, the Rosh Hashiva of Kol Torah, and one of the great poskim of our time, died in the mid-1990s, I think. He would spend the day of Erev Rosh Hashanah giving out money to tzedakah and being involved in that. He would spend many hours on Erev Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah saying Tehillim. Behisairis Rabba, with a lot of inspiration. The Gamli Bnei Habayis Hatzirim Keshehivchim Be'er Roshonah Shem is asking Medvarim Shem Abakach, and when he saw members of his own home involved in inconsequential things, Omer Betechocha Echi Tachi in Levat Lazman B'Shoas Halalu. How can you waste this precious time of Erev Rosh Hashanah? Kesheimdim Lifnei Yom Adin, we're standing the day before the day of judgment. V'Hamishpat Al Kol Maaseh Hashanah Shel Cholfa. All the judgments of everything that has happened in the last year took place. How can we not use these final moments of the year to appease the king and to use them productively? To do an introspection, to do a cheshbon nefesh, al kol ma'aseh v'drachah b'meshech hashanah shechalfa. To think back over the year that's passed, have I behaved in the appropriate way, etc., etc. Now, another interesting, very interesting final paragraph. That which is a common phrase that people say at this time of year, laharbos be'echulim, when people wish each other, ish l'rehu, shahashona haba te toivo, me'ashona hacholefes. This year should be better than last year. And then, v'tichle shona v'kilo seho. Let the year and all its curses end. Which is based on a Gemara. It has sources. People say that. But one of the reasons, last Shabbos, we leaned the Teichocha in Parshas Kisavoy, is because we try to make sure that we end before Rosh Hashanah. And the year, all the klalos should sort of be a sign to the year gone by. But he would be upset when people would just say that next year should be better than this year. And Tichle Shana V'Kil Lo Seho. Hey Rabbeinu, second line of the last paragraph, sheyesh lizoy bezeh shelo lius chas v'shalom kofu tovosoy shel mokom. We shouldn't be ungrateful for all the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't just dismiss last year, saying next year should be better. What about this whole last year? There's been a lot of good. We've been the recipients of a lot of kindness, each in our own particular way. We should also be very grateful for the good things that have happened in the last year. We're still here. There's lots to be grateful for. On the contrary, we should wish people that the good things should continue. Very interesting point. There are some calendars you can buy. The last page of the calendar you can buy now, Toshin Pei Gimel, 2022 to 2023, and the last page is left blank. Lichto b'seif haluach, and the last page just has three words on it, tichle shono v'kiloseho, i.e. next year. And he says, ki matam yesh b'chsivas dovazeh, why are you writing that? Shono shleima koidem lochen, one whole year before the year's even begun, you're saying, let that year finish and all the curses go with it. At the time of printing, ve'ein zeh le k'psichas peh l'satan at chas v'sham. He says, on the contrary, it's like opening your mouth to the satan. That's like bringing on klolos. So just a very interesting insight to Rosh Shleima Zalman. So, should you fast in Erev Rosh Hashanah? It's a nice thing to do. It's not one of the Taryag Mitzvahs. It's not one of the Aseres HaDibros. It's a nice thing to do. It's a minhag to do it. And only if you're feeling up to it and well, if it will disturb you, you know, your learning will disturb you, visit someone on Sunday morning in an old age home, and if you don't have breakfast, you won't be able to do it, then that goes to the side. Then you should have breakfast and do the chesed or learn Torah or whatever it may be. But it's a nice thing to do if one can, and to eat from after chatzos. Okay. Next thing is what's brought in halacha, number 3 out of 6, is the minhag for men to go to the mikveh. V'yesh nag min litvah be'erev Rosh Hashanah mishum keri. And the Mishnah Berurah says that if, for whatever reason, v'ein yochel litvah mishum tzuna, if you can't go to the mikveh because it's too cold, you know, think of breaking the ice in Russian rivers and things like that. We haven't got the deluxe mikvahs of our community. Yire lishbech al gufe tes kavim mayim. There is an alternative that you can stand under the shower for slightly longer, 3 to 5 minutes under a full jet of shower. That is considered tisha kavim, which is the second best, not for proper halachic purposes, but for tefilas ezra, which is for men, to get rid of tefilas of tumas keri, that would be okay. And v'lo yakdim, says the Mishnah Berurah, litvah l'ashah kodim chatzos hayom. One should try and go sort of later in the day, if possible. Just an interesting insight. I heard a lot of this from Rabbi Arya Leibowitz, and he mentioned a very interesting point. Ezra was masakein tefila for a bal keri. A person who's had a seminal emission needs to go to mikveh in the times where Ezra was masakein. Ezra lived in the time after Bais Rishon, between Bais Rishon and Bais Sheni. He brought Klal Yisrael back to build Bais Sheni, and he was masakein that in his day. Now, interestingly, many centuries later, they repealed the Tanoim, the time of the Mishnah, repealed what Ezra was masakein. And everyone agrees they repealed that takana when it came to Torah. So therefore, a person is able to learn Torah, does not need to go to the mikveh. There is a machlokas rishonim in whether they need to repeal, whether he repealed it, they repealed it, when it came to tefillah. The Rambam says not, that they didn't, they, just like it was repealed for Torah and for tefillah, there's no difference. And therefore, you don't need to go to mikveh regarding learning, regarding davening, no difference. The Ravid and others argue. And we paskin that Ezra was, it's been repealed, both for Torah and for tefillah. So why is it when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and men go to the mikveh? So he said the following explanation. In the same way in the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, it's appropriate in the first 10 days to take on chumras, which we don't normally do, right? Just like with the example of Paspalta, whatever it may be, Chol Yisrael, or whatever the equivalent is, which is always a little bit problematic. Sometimes people struggle a little bit with it. You know, is it a Motzi Yom Kippur? You can go and have the Chol of Akum. Yeah, you've gone to Ne'ila, you've made Havdalah, now I can eat my Mazbar. And the holiday Aseres Yemei Tshuva, you were careful. Isn't that a little bit hypocritical? So the Teretz is, it's not hypocritical, because the first 10 days of the year are the foundations of the year. And in the same way that if you have a crack in the foundations, that's going to fester into something much bigger and it's more dangerous. But later on, higher up the building, it's not as dangerous. Well, so too the chumras of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, to make sure the foundations are strong. What happens afterwards is less critical. So it's not terrible. But he says that's exactly what's going on over here. Throughout the year, we paskin like the Rambam, that when Ezra was misakin it, we repealed it both for Torah and for Tefillah. But when it, but in Aseret Tshuva, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, we want to be machmir for the other opinions that said that you repealed it only for Torah and not for Tefillah. Therefore, it's appropriate for a person, for a man, to go to the mikvah on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Now, the fourth thing is visiting a cemetery. The Shulchan Aruch says, Yesh mekoymes noagim nelech al hakvaros. There is a minute to go, and then build up to Rosh Hashanah to go to the Beis HaKvaros, to the cemetery, ulaharbis shom betachanunos, and to daven there, to supplicate there, v'noisim stokel anim, and to give stokel to poor people. Now, the Mishnah Berurah says, and this is a very important point, this is just a general rule when you, you know, housekeeping, when you go to the Beis HaKvaros. And this is, I always say this to the boys, when we go to Poland, the first trip we go from London straight, normally the itineraries, we go straight to Warsaw. And the first stop is to the Warsaw Cemetery, which is this enormous cemetery with 250,000 kvaros that are marked, plus another 200,000 probably that are buried there, an enormous cemetery. And as we go in, you know, I tell the boys some rules about Beis HaKvaros. Thankfully, the vast majority don't know these halachas. So number one, tak your sitzisin, right? But I always mention this Mishnah Berurah. It's very important Mishnah Berurah. To Beis HaKvaros, hu mokum menuchas hatzadikim. The cemetery is a place where tzaddikim are buried. Certainly in the Warsaw Cemetery, you have some of the giants of the last 400 or 500 years. But here in London as well, Baruch Hashem, we go to Beis HaKvaros and there's some great tzaddikim buried here. V'hatfila niskablo shom yoseh. And therefore, tefillahs can be more accepted in these holy places. Ach, here comes the big but. Al yosim magmosoi neged ha-mesim. You are not davening to the mesim. Ach, yevakesh mashem isbarach. That we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the merit of the holy people who are buried there, that he should answer our tefillahs. That's a very important yisoid. Davening to the mesim is avodah zarah. And therefore we've got to be very mindful of that when you go to the Beis HaKvaros. You're not davening to them, you're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the zuchus of the people buried here, that our tefillahs should be answered. Okay, the next thing, briefly, is Hataras Nedarim. The Shari Tshuva says that Erev Rosh Hashanah is a time for Hataras Nedarim, and he gives an interesting thing, an interesting remez. V'kos sav birkei Yosef b'shem neshachal ha-Torah, Parshas Matzis. Yesh noagim lasis Hataras Nedarim be'elel. There is a minhag to do Hataras Nedarim, to undo any vows we may have made during Elul. V'ha remez, and like we do, ani l'doidi v'doidi li, and all the remozim, he's got a remez, because it says in Parshas Matzis, ish ki yidur neder, lo yachel devorok cholayotzim hiviaseh. Lo yachel devoro kachol, the last letters, the seif tevas, spell Elul. Lo is, the last letter is an aleph, yachel, lamed, devoro, vav, kachol is lamed, spells Elul. So that's an allusion to the fact that we do Hataras Nedarim on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Now women don't do this. Women don't do it. Some husbands add v'chein le'ishti when they stand up in front of three men on Erev Rosh Hashanah and after Shacharis and Shul. That's the normal time to do it. They add v'chein le'ishti. But poskim say the minhag is for women not to do this. So that is that. Now, again, Halicha Shlema, he says lo nagu lasos k'Erev Rosh Hashanah hataras nedarim le'noshim. He says the minhag is not for women to do it. But he did a very interesting footnote. He says, even a woman who's a year before her bas mitzvah, when she's 11, or for a boy, when he's 12 years old, then they didn't do Hataras Nedarim. Ach, interesting. When the boys in his household turned 12 and the girls turned 11, i.e. 1 year before the bar bas mitzvah, his hirim rabbeinu lisragel bamiris plineida. He encouraged them, and he said, now that you're turning 11, or you, a boy, turning 12, the halachas are that your nedarim count. That's a special halach of nedarim. And therefore, he would make sure to warn his children, or grandchildren, whoever, that they've got to be very careful, and they should say bli neder regularly. And he would teach them the general rules of halach of nedarim. Okay. Say that, and okay, and he carries on. Okay, that's five things so far. And the final halacha that the Shulchan Aruch brings is Ein Noifim Apneim Erev Rosh Hashanah Tefillah. We don't say Tachanun, which is a normal practice before Yom Tov. Afal Pi She Noifim Apneim Bashmir Slichas, even though we do say Tachanun in Slichas, and it could be, it's a little bit earlier. Ein Tokim Erev Rosh Hashanah. We don't blow shofar on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Now, why don't we blow shofar on Erev Rosh Hashanah? So there are two reasons given. The first reason is less known, and that is the Mishnah Berurah says, "La hafsik ben tkiyas to rishus, la tkiyas to chayva." In other words, the tkiya shofar that we do from Rosh Chodesh Elul till Rosh Hashanah are all rishus, they're all voluntary. And that is Uri Yusheinu Mishinaskem, is just to arouse us to do tshuva. But that's just tkiyas to rishus, that's we don't have to. The tkiyas chayva start in Rosh Hashanah. To differentiate between the two, we stop on Erev Rosh Hashanah, we don't blow. To just highlight the fact that tomorrow on Rosh Hashanah, these are chiyuv, these are obligatory. That's the first reason. Now the second reason is perhaps better known. Avav minhagim kosov hatam kadei la'arvev hasotam, to confuse the sotam. So he's getting all confused. The shofar is so powerful that we want to confuse him, and therefore we start blowing early, and then we don't stop. We stop blowing, he thinks it's all over, and then we suddenly surprise him. He thought after all these years he'll get the hang of it, but he hasn't. Now, Rabbi Leibowitz mentioned a very interesting point when he mentioned tzkiyas to Meyushev, or tzkiyas to Chayv, and tzkiyas to Rishus. He mentioned an interesting thing from Yerusha Ben Soloveitchik. The tzkiyas to Chayv and the tzkiyas to Rishus are very different. Tzkiyas to Rishus, like I mentioned, are just to get us in the mood, to get us thinking about tshuva. That sort of shrill blast of the shofar should help us think about tshuva. Tzkiyas to Chayv, I mean the obligatory tzkiyas that we do in Rosh Hashanah, are different. That's not about just inspiring us to do tshuva, but the tkiyas are a form of a tefillah themselves. And he brings lots of proofs for this. There isn't time to just a couple of proofs to mention. Number one, for those who have a nusach sfarad, and for those who don't, the first time you see it, it's a bit of a shock to the system. But the tkiyas, apart from the first blows that you do before Musa Shemon Esra, the tkiyas take place during your private Shemon Esra. So those who daven Nusach Sfarad are very familiar with this. And during the silent Shemon Esra, you suddenly stop. The guy claps on the bima, and he'll suddenly blow. Malchi Zichronish forever, you know, during your private Shemon Esra. Now, if you're familiar with it, then it's not unused to you. But if you're not familiar, it's an absolute shock to the system. But isn't it a hefsek? I mean, we don't shake lulav in the middle of Shemon Esra. So Rabbi Yosha Ben Soloveitchik has got a whole mahalach. He says that the tzkiyas on Rosh Hashanah are a form of tefillah. Interestingly, when we blow shofar nowadays, we blow it to the end of Shacharis. In all shuls, that I've seen, you blow shofar, and then as soon as you blow shofar, you say Ledovet Hashem Ori. But Rosh Hashanah Soloveitchik said, back in Europe, they would actually say Ledovet earlier, and you'd blow shofar at the end. Because you can't, it's mafsik in the middle of tefillah. The tzkiyas to Rishus are not tefillah, and therefore it's a hefsek. So the minhag in Europe was they would say Ledovit and then they would blow at the end. Interestingly, in Hagas they have this minhag. You go to Daven in Hagas, you see they put it Ledovit much earlier and then they blow shofar at the end because it's not part of tefillah. The tkiyas on Rosh Hashanah part of tefillah. So that's just an interesting aside. So there we have it. So we've got six relevant halachas for Erev Rosh Hashanah. The first one, which I think is the important one in terms of our approach to it, because there are three ways of how we can approach Rosh Hashanah. Either like clueless sheep, either with trepidation of passing on this precipice, on this steep cliff, or with a bit more confidence like the soldiers of David HaMelech. And that first one of bathing and taking haircuts shows, as the Mishnah Berurah says, a certain confidence in the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the din will be a positive one. And the other halachas we've discussed, fasting on Erev Rosh Hashanah, mikveh for men, visiting a Beis HaKvaros, a cemetery, and giving charity, and then Hataras Nedarim and not blowing the shofar. Okay, we'll leave that there.
But just these three approaches, are you saying the third one is the best one?
Absolutely. That there should be, to have trepidation is good, but to have, people go over the line, and a certain anxiety, they can't focus, and they're just, they go to pieces, that's not healthy. So it's a balance, but there should be a quiet confidence. I remember one year in yeshiva, this is going back a bit, on the night of Rosh Hashanah, I ate with Chanuch Teller. Yeah, the author and the speaker. And I remember he said the following analogy. He said, what should we feel like on Rosh Hashanah? He said, imagine you're a concert pianist and you've been practicing for years and years and suddenly you have your big break and you're now going to perform at the Royal Albert Hall. Can you imagine how you'd feel? It's a mixture of very excited. This is your massive opportunity. And on the other hand, total trepidation and nervousness. You're now performing in front of thousands of people. This is your big moment. So Rosh Hashanah is that combination. It should be a trepidation, but also a certain excitement, a certain positivity. This is an opportunity. So it's the balance of the two. So the second one, I think Rabbi Keller was saying, is the analogy of the steep cliff is not always a positive one. It can be. It depends on how you take it. If it goes, if the anxiety spills into sort of yish and hopelessness, that's bad news. But if it's a more of a positive attitude and a certain confidence in the din, then that is positive.
Okay. You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.